yeah, they had us the first half. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, Kimmy Wayne!
I think I got my swagger back. Oh, oh!
Woo-hoo! I love it, baby!
Them orange britches! Something about them orange britches!
Ball hit high in the air into right field, going back to Sayre, and Tennessee can say hello, win column. A grand slam in the bottom of the ninth. You can't draw it up any better.
We just won a basketball game, and we're very happy right now.
I made up my mind. I don't expect to ever look back. I'm going to stay at the University of Tennessee. Yeah!
Read it, did to do, and welcome into More Important Issues. It is Sunday, May 8th. Been a week since we've seen you guys. Good to see everyone back here. I know it wasn't the wasn't the best weekend for Vol baseball, which is obviously going to be the main topic today. But we got I don't know. It's not a consolation prize, but I guess for the weekend it is getting the secure in the East. So
yeah, man.
Not all bad. And you set yourself up to, this series isn't going to make or break you anyway. So, it stinks obviously to have this happen, but baseball's the long season. This stuff just happens.
I need another one.
Who is that?
That's Tony V, the SEC East champ.
I figured it was Tony, but the hair's a little light. The beard's a little light, so I wasn't sure.
Yeah, it doesn't look exactly like him, but you get it.
Yeah, I didn't know you had that bobblehead. I love that.
Yeah.
I would like one.
We need another one back to back.
Agree. Definitely. And so that's, that's good to have that happen. And sorry to sound so down, but obviously you never want to lose. It's not fun to do. And it just sucks because it felt like super uncharacteristic of Tennessee. Not that Kentucky didn't play good. I've got several people texting me, how has Kentucky been as bad as they are? They look plenty good. So it's not that they were just completely bad, but it was uncharacteristic of Tennessee, some of the mistakes. What was it, 37, 31 at-bats without a hit on Thursday night?
Yeah, you didn't get a – you had 10 hits in the first 22 innings, and then you had one extra base, or you didn't have an extra base hit until I think the fourth inning on Sunday. Is that right?
Yeah, that may be right. That sounds right. And
the first 13 innings, I guess, you didn't have a single extra base hit.
And I'd like to preface this before people tell us to calm down. It's one series, it's baseball. We understand that. It's still you don't want to lose, especially when you drop the series. That's still not ideal. Yeah, it's okay. You put yourself in a great position that it doesn't matter. You still have an incredibly likely that you win the SEC outright.
Right. Yeah, and so you still got a 4-game lead on Arkansas, so you got 6 games left in the SEC. Hey, you go sweep this weekend, you get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That should be easy, exactly. Right? Vanderbilt beat Georgia this weekend. So, I know we never want to give Vanderbilt credit, but they did kind of secure our East Championship.
Right.
Division Championship today with a win. So,
yeah.
Vandy.
Exactly. And that's the thing, too, is looking at Georgia where you go – all right, that should be another series Tennessee wins. This Kentucky series won't define what this team does. And, this hitting woes, whatever happened this weekend, not ideal this time of the season. But this team, especially, look at what they did on Saturday. Gives you every bit of, gives you belief that they bounce back. They haven't given us any reason to think this slump sticks around and, through postseason or even through the next series.
Right. I mean, there's some stuff that I'm just that can't happen.
Right.
Stuff but it just seemed, like you said, kind of uncharacteristic. It seems like everything just went wrong. I mean, Tony Vitello talked about, I think, after Thursday, like, they had an issue with the bus. you know, every time we play Kentucky in a sport, it's freezing cold, raining. You know, it's just miserable weather. So
I hate that you didn't appreciate my tweet. I thought you would maybe send a reply with a picture of us, like, bundled up.
I wanted to, but I feel like all the ones that we had us hammered in the stands. So,
oh no, we got a couple good pictures. Don't put that us.
Okay.
Yeah. For sure.
The ones for I have the one at the Kentucky Sports Bar where we have like 85 buckets on our table.
Yeah. That one's not ideal. Not ideal at all. Agreed.
But yeah, it just felt like nothing went Tennessee's way this weekend. It seemed like we couldn't hit one out of the park until Cortland Lawson did it. And he's, you know, no offense to him, but he's not one of Tennessee's better hitters.
Right. You would, that's not the person you would expect it from.
Mm-hmm.
To be the first person to do it.
And that late in the series, a Sunday game. I mean, we're averaging like 2.4 going into the series per game. Mm-hmm. And you don't get a single one until Saturday, which is the third game of the series. It just, again, uncharacteristic. You know, there is one thing that I think Tennessee has to clean up or find a way to minimize the damage. Dude, you can't give up 10 stolen bases. You can't give up a single, and that guy's automatically going to be on third if he's any kind of athletic at all.
Right. And that's what sucked about the teams haven't taken advantage of that like they probably should have been.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, it's a free – like you've got a guy in scoring position almost immediately if he just gets on base.
Yeah.
But I don't think – I mean – you know, I think a lot of people want to point fingers at Evan Russell. I feel like he throws a lot of good balls to second. He's just getting it so late at times.
Yeah, I mean, the pitchers don't help him out. I just feel like
it's a mixed bag.
Yeah, for sure. And I don't really know what you do about it because it doesn't seem like, you know, Evan Russell's got to play. Like, he's one of your better players. He's a leader on this team. He's got to play. But I don't think they trust in – obviously, the trust isn't in Charlie Taylor.
Well, and how much does he change? I mean, is it 10 stolen bases? Probably not. But how – like, do you get – would you – like you said, you need Evan in the lineup. You need him on the field.
Yeah.
I
don't have a good solution to that problem because it just seems like any time that we're getting somebody out – on a stolen base is they're sliding past the base. That's our only shot.
we're just really good.
Slick that thing up. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. We need shortstop, second base, whoever's out there needs to bring a water bottle with him.
Yeah. Just squirt that thing up. Yeah.
Yeah, water exactly.
Yeah. Maybe some baby soap.
Yeah. A little slip and slide action. I like it.
Yeah. There you go.
I haven't had a good slip and slide in a while. It's been a long time.
I feel like they would hurt now. I feel like everything that we used to do when we were kids, like, hurts.
Well, I feel like they were starting to hurt by, like, the time we got done doing them.
Yeah.
You know, you tense up a little bit more.
You got scratches all over you.
Yeah. So, no, I agree. Probably not as much fun now. Actually, we did one pretty recently. I forgot about that one. That one was fun.
Which one?
I did get beat up. Ryan's house, 4th of July.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we did get destroyed. Yeah, that was rough, but a great time
for sure.
But yeah, like from Thursday on, like even the first inning, you load the bases in the first three innings on Thursday and you can't cash in.
Yep.
I mean, that's just demoralizing. You leave 16 guys on base throughout that game. I mean, that's sucks. So, I mean, you're thinking you come into Friday, this team's got it. They're pissed off, you know, and then the hitting just, you can't get anything going. Can't get extra bases. Can't hit the long ball. You know, the wind was keeping everything in the park, it seemed like, but Kentucky was able to hit them out. I don't know. It just, I don't know what we did to throw off our juju in Lexington. I don't know if it's just a Lexington, you know, they cast a spell on us or something. You know, they put a hole in our bat. I have no clue. It was just a weird, weird series that, you know, hopefully – I know a lot of people are like, this is a learning experience. Screw that. It just sucked. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you, like I said, sure, in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't do any – like, it's Tennessee, like you said, still four-game lead in the SEC. I mean, it doesn't do anything. But you want to win them.
Yeah, for sure.
But period. I mean, you want to win them. And especially when, like you said, you lose Thursday, you think they're going to come out pissed off and just not able to make anything happen. It sucks. It's. I mean, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Yeah, it doesn't. Listen, I'm not going to tweet and act like it's the end of the world because it certainly isn't. But, yeah, it sucks.
I mean, I know Tennessee's pitchers, they weren't, you know, the starters weren't dominant like they have been. But I thought they all pitched good enough to win. You know, you should – Kentucky scored 3 in 13 innings. They scored 5 in that first game on – or I guess it finished on Saturday. But, I mean, those are games Tennessee should win.
Well, and you talk about you pitch well enough to win it. You also – like you put yourself in positions to win it. You just couldn't finish it out. You know, you didn't get shut out. You did score runners. You had some big moments from guys. There were much fewer than you've seen this year. But, yeah, every game, obviously you did win on the second game on Saturday, but you were in a position to win it. It wasn't outright Kentucky. No matter how it felt, it just statistically wasn't.
Yeah, you just made too many mistakes. You know, can't get a bunt down. You're striking out with the bases loaded, getting doubled off, getting picked off, you know, like Seth Stevenson did in that first inning that probably cost – Tennessee run. So yeah, just a weird game and, you know, or a weird series. And, you know, we did avoid the sweep on Saturday, which I think that's good. You finally got the bats going a little bit with Luke Lipsius came up huge late in that game. Then Jordan Beck kind of put the icing on the cake with the 3-run bomb. So yeah, I don't, it was just weird. I didn't
also,
like
what it. about Jordan Beck's catch at the wall on Friday night?
Oh, dude, he's phenomenal all weekend in the field. I know, like, I think
like I said, you had some big moments from some guys. You did.
Right. Yeah, I think Thursday, like, Drew, Trey, and Jordan Beck all were over. I'm like,
yeah.
How many times has that happened this season? None, probably. Right. I mean, it was just
over, you know, not a chance.
Yeah, it was just super weird. The errors, Tennessee had 4 errors. You know, we just booted a random ground ball at shortstop.
Right.
We, you know, try to pick off at first base and throw it over Luke's head. I don't know. It was just weird. It just felt like everything was off.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't find a gap. Couldn't find a hole. You know, Kentucky was check swinging and blooping it right over our infielder's head into the outfield. It was just like, man, can we catch a break?
Yeah, I mean, rough weekend. I think that's the best. You made some uncharacteristic mistakes, and the breaks did not go with you, which obviously you can't expect them to, but it sucks.
Yep.
It sucks. Let's get that out. That's out of our system. Let's move on. Okay. You've got Tuesday. Obviously, you guys will recap it more in depth. Are you guys going Monday on the bat flip? Have y'all decided?
We haven't decided that yet. We'll tweet that out tomorrow. But I think the plan is to go
trying to go to 6:30 tomorrow. Okay.
Yeah.
So make sure you check that out. They'll definitely go more in depth there. We're gonna rinse repeat. We're moving on. No, not repeat, but rinse that off. Get that out. You mentioned you got that Georgia series, this weekend, and then you've got Bellarmine. I feel like Bellarmine, you pronounced it. Yeah. Bellarmine. Okay. Tuesday night. So, chance to get another midweek win and maybe settle in, get back to your old ways, and be characteristic of yourself, not uncharacteristic.
Yeah, and this Georgia team's pretty good. They got some really good arms. Jonathan Cannon, I think, is back for them. So, Connor Tate's, you know, he leads them in batting average. They're a surprise team, kind of like Auburn. Mm-hmm. Probably wasn't projected to be as good. I think they were a preseason top 25 team, but I didn't think they'd be that great after last year. But Right. Replaced some guys, you know, got some good arms. Weren't able to get it done against Vanderbilt this past weekend, but and then they lost. They actually lost a series to Kentucky also. So I don't.
Yeah,
Kentucky just doesn't make sense to me. I hate
not at all.
That place sucks.
Oh, it's the worst by far. Right.
I mean, props to all the Tennessee fans that sat through that this weekend. I mean, they deserve
an award. Columbia may be the worst. Lexington's got to be a close second, though.
In terms of like weather.
Well, like weather, just as an SEC like school, like yeah, like so when you got to go there, it sucks because of the weather.
Yeah.
But and like the weather, the town, all that stuff. Like,
I know when y'all went to Columbia a couple years ago, it was cold, right?
We went to Columbia, South Carolina.
Oh, you're talking about Columbia, Missouri.
Missouri, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even consider that like
even a city. But yeah, no, it was freezing that time in Columbia. And it was November 1st, but it snowed.
Which is weird.
In Columbia.
Yeah.
It was just it snowed in Chattanooga too.
It was just a cold front that came
yeah,
through.
Yeah, I mean, it was starting to get into winter. And yeah, cold front came through on Halloween. Ugh, all the hoes don't get cold. They were cold that night. Hoes got cold that night.
Hoes got cold. Yeah. Interesting.
No, so yeah,
they do. Like you heard it here first. They do, in fact, get cold.
It takes a lot. I mean, I've seen some insanely like dressed people that I'm like, there's no way you're not cold. But that night, hoes got cold. Everyone.
There you go.
Everyone. Yeah. All right. Let's get out of there. Let's make sure you tune in the bat flip, get a little more in depth. Let's move on to a little football. Let's get some football talk going. We're juiced.
Black jerseys. Your thoughts. I just want to talk, at least mention it.
Love the hat. Love the black jerseys. I love the gray pants with the black jerseys. I was not crazy about the font and like color of the, I don't know, maybe white. Like you need a white outline. And I'm just not a huge fan of the Nike font. So I would have loved a script. Script would have been gorgeous.
Yeah, it was super weird that it wasn't the script. Because I think they have the black t-shirts with the orange script.
Right.
Like on I don't know. It was just like you don't really use that font. You don't use the Vols font like that anymore. So I don't know. That was an interesting. I don't know like the specifics on how those are ordered or, you know, when they're ordered and how long it takes to get that going. But yeah, it just seemed in a random time to just bring them out.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely a weird time to bring them out.
Friday during the rain
in Lexington.
Yeah, it's like,
definitely.
Which I
definitely
get you probably can't wear that like at home.
Can you not? I feel like the White Sox wear black. I mean, I feel like you can wear anything you want in baseball, right? I mean,
I don't know. I don't know what it is with the neutral. I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like the White Sox wear black at home, but
I mean, we've worn
they were black
gray.
They were black
worn gray at home. So yeah, that's, I guess you could. Yeah. That was just a weird time to, do we just get them and be like, if we don't get them out now, somebody else is going to know that they're in. So is this just a surprise?
Maybe
just a lot of fire. I mean, I didn't seem to help, so that probably didn't help the case of wearing those again. But
no, yeah, no, I liked everything. I love the hat. I wore my hat Saturday. I like the gray pants. I didn't know how I'd feel about the gray pants, but they were gorgeous.
Yeah, I like the gray
pants. They look good. And I feel like all black, we would have looked Vanderbiltish. So I'm glad we didn't go all black.
Yeah,
that was good. That was good. I like to see him again. I didn't hate him.
Yeah.
Didn't hate him.
Do the Vol script. That was the easy one.
The Vol script would have been gorgeous. You may not have even needed a white outline, but I think a white outline really would have made it pop.
Uh-huh.
Would look good.
Dude, orange on black is just that. It just makes it pop. Yeah, it's sexy.
I know some people are up in arms, I'm sure, over the tradition, even though baseball's been wearing black for forever. So
right, yeah.
But I'm sure someone was mad about it.
For sure. Can't please everybody. including that girl covering Vanderbilt. Good God, what is her issue?
She's covering Vanderbilt.
I mean, that's a good point. And she works for the Tennessee, and that's, you know, strike two. But a man, like, she is just the worst.
Yeah, no, she has some bad takes. And some just, like, weird. Yeah, they're bad, but just strange takes, too.
Yeah, like, why are you tweeting about Tennessee and, you know, we swept Vanderbilt? Like, you have no – let it go.
And, I mean, what a take to just say Tennessee's not good. Statistically, they're the best team in the country. I mean
– and they're one of the best teams ever in college baseball.
Right. It's just a terrible take because they lost one series.
Yeah.
And you saw, like, this morning.
Yeah.
Right. Not ideal conditions at all. At all.
I will say this. Tennessee has played in some crap weather this entire season. So, you know, maybe that's not an excuse, but whatever. We're moving on.
I like it. You ready for football?
Yeah, dude. Let's get into some football. Foosball.
What was the stuff on the Today Show? It was like Josh Heupel surprised. It was a mom and daughter. Did you see that?
I didn't see that. I haven't really been on Twitter very much lately.
Oh, all right. A little backing off of it a little bit.
Yeah, man. I'm just tired. My thumbs hurt. I'm scrolling too much.
I'll see what I can find. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about transfers.
Yeah, Tennessee landed a couple of them. Didn't do a show this past week on Thursday because of the game. Couldn't get it in on Wednesday. So didn't get to talk about Andre Turrentine, mm-hmm. the DB out of Ohio State. Got 4 years of eligibility left, originally from Nashville, Tennessee, out of Innsworth. The last staff just didn't recruit him because they didn't like how he ran. Ohio State, who continuously puts out first-round defensive backs year in and year out, thought he ran okay, but Jeremy Pruitt did not. So,
yeah, and so I don't. What's the situation with transferring from Ohio State? I'm not familiar with that. Do you know?
Like why he's transferring?
Right. Yeah.
I think he's just kind of buried. You know, they got a six-year guy, I think, at one of the safety spots. And I think he's just looking for maybe a new start. I don't think it's anything, you know, off-the-field related. I think he's just kind of buried in the depth chart. And he probably was interested in Tennessee. And they new staff, you know, new start. And I think it's probably a lot easier for his family to come and watch. So I'm sure that had an impact as well, just being that close proximity to home. But yeah, they got some guys that were hurt during the spring. He actually led, I think, the entire Ohio State team in the spring game in snaps. Had 9 tackles, I think, a pass breakup. So had a really good spring and, you know, kind of made a name. But again, just kind of behind some guys that have a lot of experience. So, you know, he comes in here. Can he play that nickel? Can he play the two safety spots? It's going to be interesting to see. I don't think – I mean, you watch Tennessee against the Purdue game. That's got to give you some confidence in playing defensive back here, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's a good thing, too. You address a position of need. So, yeah. Talk about getting those needs. I mean, getting – obviously the talent's important, but needs are – especially with your roster as it is right now. So that's a good need to address.
For sure. For sure, for sure. And then Brew McCoy. Wide receiver out of USC, did not play this past year due to some off-the-field issues, but apparently those charges were dropped. It was got arrested in July of 2021. For domestic violence and was suspended and not reinstated on USC's team. Apparently they're going to bring him back after Lincoln Riley got there, but, you know, just I think a fresh start was really what he was wanting. And former five-star recruit at a Matter Day. Is that how you say it? I think it is.
I think so. Oh, I think that's right.
Yeah, one of the most prolific high school programs in the country. His quarterback in high school is JT Daniels. You know, you obviously have that connection with Valus Jones, and him getting drafted, I'm sure helped that decision. Caleb Tremblay, Chase McGrath. So, you know, a couple names there that have made that transition from USC to Tennessee. And, you know, the offense probably helps too. Wide receiver room, really good. You got a, you know, 1,000-yard receiver returning. So you could play opposite of that guy. You're not going to get, you know, you're probably going to get your fair share of man-to-man coverage, you know, single on the outside, because you got Cedric Tillman to worry about opposite of you. So, yeah, I think it's a good pickup.
I'm feeling very good about the offense this season.
Oh, for
still
sure.
Still have a couple questions, but much more optimistic, especially after this week.
Yeah, I mean, you saw what Javon – like, I saw one – and Britt McCoy's a big dude, 6'3", 220. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got to be physical. You know, at that, you know, you're right. You're just, you know, blocking some, you know, 5'10", 180 defensive backs. I think he should be able to hold his own, but – yeah, go up and get the 50-50 balls. You know, not a super speedster like Javonte Payton was, but neither is Cedric Tillman.
Right. And I mean, he's not a speedster, but he's not slow either.
Right.
I think he was 4.5, 4.6 before in high school, I think. Mm-hmm. So I mean, he's not slow.
Right.
But yeah, definitely. Yeah, you don't get the same as.
And I think he was listed as an athlete because I think a lot of them wanted to play like outside linebacker. Like a lot of schools want him to do that. Jeez. So, I mean, he was a wide receiver at USC, so I would think he was going to be a wide receiver here. He's got 3 years of eligibility left. You know, I think he just kind of wanted a new start, new coaching staff. You know, that stuff with, you know, his arrest and stuff like that. I think that's pretty much what led him to Tennessee. And his dad talked about – I read an article where his dad talked about, like, they were just watching practice and just really loved the culture and how, like, players and coaches just interacted with one another. That was something that kind of set Tennessee apart from other schools. So, hey, man, everything I hear about this culture is – I hear nothing but good things.
Right. And it's, that's good. I hope it's true, like what we're hearing and what we're seeing. Obviously, you know, some stuff can be hidden, especially if things start to go south, but hope it remains the same. Cause it does seem like it seemed like a good culture last year. And then it seems like they've already taken steps forward. So it's a great thing. I just hope it's all true and hope that continues. Cause I mean, that's the biggest, if you want to win consistently, you got to have a good culture.
Yeah.
Obviously, talent can maybe win you some games here and there alone, but if you want to win at a consistent rate, it's culture. So.
I saw where he actually played against Cedric Tillman in high school, too, because
Tillman
went to Bishop Gorman. He went to Matter Day, two huge high school programs. So I thought that was kind of interesting. So,
a little
tidbit there. Fun fact. But he had 21 receptions his true freshman year at USC, 236 yards, two touchdowns.
That was like an eight. What did they play? Six games, eight games? That was the COVID year, wasn't it?
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Let's see.
I'm pretty sure his freshman year was 2020, which was a COVID year. I just don't remember how many games they played.
Six.
Six. Okay. So that's in six games.
Yeah.
Not in 12.
And that's including the Pac-12 championship game.
Okay, so seven games. Gotcha. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, not a bad freshman year. I don't think USC was great, but I don't know if the Pac-12 was great either that year. So
They played in the championship game.
Shout out. Talk about a Mickey Mouse championship.
Right. That's hang that banner.
Oh, you know they did.
Oh, for sure.
You know there's a banner.
I would have done it too.
For sure. I mean, if I'm playing in the championship game, I'm playing in the championship game.
Claim all you can claim.
Right.
That's my word of advice.
100%. Do you have any other recruiting updates? I know those with those transfers.
Yeah, we had some visits this weekend. You had a UCF transfer, Jalen Robinson, kind of reconnecting with his, you know, old coaches. Had a fantastic year in 2020 under Heupel, where he had 55 receptions, 979 yards, 6 touchdowns. And then last year, 18 receptions, 322 yards. He's a slot guy. I think 5'10", 180, something like that. It is so a little jitterbug out there in the slot. It just seems like we're going after playmakers. Anything to make us better. I know Tennessee has Jalen Hyatt. Kind of, you think this is his year to step up in the slot, but if they think they can get better with Jalen Robinson, guy that they're familiar with, I'm all for it. Hey.
Yeah, I agree.
I think he's down to Tennessee, Ole Miss. I think he mentioned TCU as well. So, I think looking for a new start and, you know, having those former coaches here, I think that's
– How many years of eligibility would he have?
Two, I think. Okay. Yeah. I think he's played 3, so he gets that extra COVID year.
COVID year. Okay. Yeah. Cool.
I think he committed to Oklahoma and played there his freshman year and then transferred to UCF, had a big year, and then last year just didn't have his
– So would he have to sit out then a year? Or did he not play at Oklahoma? Like, did he transfer before the season at Oklahoma?
No, he played. So I don't know what that looks like.
Okay. Interesting.
Well, Brew McCoy's kind of done the same thing, right? I mean, he went from Texas.
Yeah, he transferred to Texas.
Yeah.
But I don't think he ever played at Texas.
No, he didn't. So that, yeah, that's a good point.
Is that I don't know if that matters. Did he ever get on campus, I guess?
Well, what if he might have redshirted?
See, I feel like that still matters if you transfer twice. I don't know. I don't know other rules, honestly.
Yeah.
I haven't a clue.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll find that out. But
all right, expect to report back.
Yeah. And then 4-star running back Roderick Robinson took a visit this weekend from San Diego, California. I'm sure Nico, not far away from there, is probably in his ear. He released his final 6, and Tennessee was in that with some, you know, West Coast schools as well. But hey, if you're like, hey, I don't know if he plays in maybe the same league, or I don't know how. Like, I feel like he knows Nico, so I feel like that's helpful, and that's probably why, you know, Tennessee's got a real shot at him, and so we'll see what happens. We just like those Cali boys, it seems like.
Oh, yeah. Which is good. You need to be able to recruit out there.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, you don't want those Pac-12 championships. They don't mean anything.
Okay, so it may matter. Brew McCoy, shout out to Matt Ray. His article says that he had to sit out a year because when he transferred, the transfer rules were still, you had to wait a year. So maybe that helps him, that he had to sit out.
Okay, he already sat out.
Yeah. Mm.
Gotcha.
So it may matter. Not sure.
Interesting. So, yeah, we'll see what kind of what comes of that. Tennessee hasn't really, it seems like, been huge in the running back. You know, I'm sure they'll add a couple in this class, but it seems like Roderick Robinson's probably toward the top of that list. And then made the top 5 for a junior college wide receiver, Malik Benson. That Hutch connection, baby.
Yeah.
So we'll kind of see what happens with that. Top 5 for Aiden Green out of Powell High School. I actually spoke to him at Special Olympics. Just kind of asked him about his top schools and stuff like that. And, you know, he expects to have a really good senior year. And so we'll see.
Yeah.
A couple of SEC schools in that. I think Arkansas.
I didn't know who's
Mississippi State. Yeah. Teams like that. So, yeah, we'll see. And then basketball front a little bit, five-star power forward Julian Phillips will make his college decision on May 12th. So that's coming up in 4 days. Auburn, Florida State, South Carolina, USC, and then Overtime Elite and the G League, or and Tennessee is on that list. So we'll see. I mean, isn't it crazy how weird it is to have like the G League in your top five teams?
That's very, very strange.
It's just a new norm. I'm not dissing the kid for doing that. Like, a lot of people are doing that, but it's just a weird.
It's a weird thing. Like, list is like your top five. That's where it's weird.
Yeah,
like, I get it being part of your decision making.
Yeah, just another recruiting off school there.
right. How much do G League players make now? I know they talked about raising the minimum.
I don't know.
Did they?
No clue. All right, I know it's worked out for, like, Jalen Green for the Rockets. It worked out for him. Other than that, like, I don't know of any, like, big names that did that.
So, it looks like it says the typical – I think it's supposed to get raised like $100,000, but it says right now that the – this is just a Google search, New York Times, $37,000 a year.
Oh, that's it? Top two.
Yeah.
NIL. Come on.
Yeah, but I mean, so that's going to only be for a handful of schools, though, that can get you close to $37,000.
Well, Tennessee is one of those schools, maybe.
Tennessee benefits from that for sure. But I'm pretty sure, weren't they talking about raising it when they were talking about using the G League as like a farm system, essentially? Like, more like a farm system?
Yeah.
Where it'll be?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I think the minor league thing is dwindling down. Like, you're going to see more kids go to college, and it's trending that way anyway. And it's been like that for a couple of years, where more kids are just turning down that,
yeah,
whatever signing bonus to, and a lot of, you just get lost when you're that young, and you know, you gotta, here's $150 a week, and you know, you got to live in an apartment with eight other guys. No, that's not true, but, you know, probably three or four guys. And yeah, I just think more people are going to go that college route.
Right. Yeah, I'm looking at this. So it looks like it's $37,000 a year, but only for 5 months. So I only work for 5 months. So that's pretty good money, considering
that's not bad, right?
Now, obviously, I don't know what you do in those other 5 months. So that sucks, but.
Yeah, that's true.
But I mean, not all G League players.
You don't have to go to class.
You don't have to go to class. And not all G League players are those 5 months guys. 5 months guys.
Right.
So some of them, like, those guys pretty much don't exist with organizations outside of G League, I guess, the way I'm reading it.
I'd like to get, like, somebody, like, that's currently in the minors. I want to know how all that works. Like, is your food and, like, is I know I've heard of, like, host homes and stuff like that. Is that still a thing?
I think that's the thing with, like, the summer baseball leagues, not the
– not, like, actual
– not, like, double A and
– gotcha. And
especially not with triple A, I wouldn't – I mean,
Do they have, like, an apartment complex that they kind of not own, but, like, have, like, hey,
yeah,
you stay here for this raid or whatever? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm
kind of interested in that.
Well, I think it's changed a lot in the last couple of years, so
– right.
No, I mean, yeah, we need to get a little minor league player on. I'd like to hear it too.
Yeah,
I know it's a lot. I know it's a lot of long bus rides.
I'll shoot Pavloni a message. I would love to hear his kind of take on that. You know, living the high life in Knoxville and then going to Aberdeen, Maryland is, you know, probably a huge culture shock. I'd like to hear about that.
Absolutely. Any questions? You get any before the show or during the show? I haven't seen any on Twitter.
I don't think so.
Had to be in and out of it. All right. You got a most important week?
I do. Oh, that's a fail. God, that's hilarious. I can't wait to talk about that. And I thought I had some.
I'll go first. So I'm going to go a little tearjerker of the week. It was an awesome moment. I think it was an Aaron Judge home run, I believe. Hit up into the upper deck, and a Blue Jays fan caught it. An older dude. I don't know, like mid, I don't know, 40s maybe. Turns around, gives it to a Yankee fan that's like a 12-year-old kid. Kid starts bawling and just hugs the random dude. Have you seen, you know, the video I'm talking about?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Love it. Heartwarming.
Great. I think he actually got to meet Aaron Judge after that.
The kid did, or the guy?
The kid did. I mean, okay. I don't know if the guy got anything.
I think the guy got something from the Blue Jays, I think.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Something he'd actually like enjoy.
Probably.
I mean, I think you take you take a signed ball by Aaron Judge, but you know, exactly. It's definitely not the same feeling as, you know, maybe Vlad Jr.
Right.
Dude, I thought I had a most important, but I don't think I do, honestly.
That's a fail. Let's see.
I think mine was like just black jerseys in general.
But they look good.
That hat, man.
Oh, I got another heartwarming one.
Okay, man.
Did you see that TikTok of that girl? She was yelling. It was at a college baseball game. I mean, obviously a smaller, not like an SEC stadium. And she had the dugout doing chants with her. She was yelling at the batter, and I don't remember what the chant was, but it was you had a clap, clap, clap in the middle of it. So The dugout was clapping for her while she just hounded this opposing team batter. Who knows? The mom probably wrote an article about how just terrible it was to see parents letting 8-year-old kids yell at the batter while he's batting. This is golf. It's a game of honor. It's a gentleman's game, and I'm just sure that batter's parents were very upset from that little girl. But no, it was awesome. I loved it. She was getting the place going.
Hostile environment. Yeah, I mean, we could have used some of that energy in Lexington, because good God.
Also, the girl on Thursday night was the most annoying girl in the world. Every time Kentucky made contact with the ball, she would just yell, "Oh my God!" I mean, I would. She tricked me the first two times. I thought they were home runs. No, none of them were close. Not a single one.
Not going to fool you a third time?
Yeah, it was awful.
Got to love some Tennessee fans and Kentucky fans. I mean, you got to – SEC in general. There's some characters all the time. Fail. I got to fail. Did you see the the guy there at the Derby, the Kentucky Derby, and the guy goes up and he goes up to Paolo Banchero, and he thinks it's Patrick Mahomes. And in the middle, he's like, "You're not who I thought you were."
Oh my gosh.
He's like, "What is your name?" He's like, "Paolo Banchero." And he's like, "Oh, I thought you were somebody else. Sorry."
That's awesome. We also didn't mention the Kentucky Derby. Rich Strike.
That's what I was going to say. Yes, 80-1.
80-1 odds.
Apparently he was only in because of a scratch or something.
I have no idea. I know he was I'm sure this is exaggerated. They said he got injured in 30 seconds before the deadline. I'm sure that's an exaggeration, but.
Yeah, it was kind of like a last. I mean, you didn't really have any time to put any money on it.
Right. Yeah, so.
Also fell on that horse. Did you see him biting another horse after it?
No, I saw him. I didn't realize he was trying to bite another horse. I saw him going nuts, but.
Yeah, he was like trying to gnaw on another horse's neck.
That's sexy.
Dude, he wanted that love bite.
Yeah, that boy's hyped up.
Dude, that adrenaline was going.
Any more fails? Did I do my fail? Madison, well, not Madison Bumgarner, the umpire. Did you see that?
Oh my God, yes.
And then he issued an apology, but kind of didn't address exactly what he did wrong. He just said he made a mistake.
Also, rubbing a man's hand like that and looking him dead in the eyes, you're supposed to be looking at the hand, but that's kind of sus.
It got weird.
It got real weird. It made me uncomfortable.
Right. Very.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know. What do you got to say to get tossed in that situation? They better be something real mean about your mama. You better not just be tossing people for no reason.
Yeah. I don't know. Let the boys play.
Field.
Yeah, I got one more fail. I haven't read anything like a follow-up on this, but there was a dead shark hung up at a school in Florida, and they were their mascot was the Sharks. Like somebody put a huge. Let's see if I can. I'll just have to send it to you because you probably can't see it.
Send that over to me.
Yeah. I mean,
why are kids psychopaths?
Dude, it's insane.
That's not a funny senior prank. If there's any seniors in high school listening, that's a terrible prank.
Also, I really want to know how. How do you, first of all, where do you get this big shark? Second of all, look
the impressive side of it.
Yeah,
oh my gosh. They mutilated that.
And hung it up. Like, that took some time.
Oh, for sure.
That's not just shit in a bag and throw it on somebody's doorstep. Like, that took some time.
That's Landon's favorite prank, apparently. Just first thing pops in his head.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's hilarious.
When did this happen? I'm going to go read that article.
I don't know. So this is May 5th is when this was posted.
I was about to say, I guess I could look at the date on the tweet you sent me. The New York Times or New York Post tweets a lot. Jesus.
I don't follow the New York Post. I don't know how it got on my
page. Oh, I'm sure someone retweeted that.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been scrolling ever since you sent that to me, and I'm just yesterday.
Still can't get it.
This is insane. You got anything else?
That's all I got. It's a shorter show.
Weren't as hyped up, you know. You get it.
It's cool. It's cool. Easier to listen to. You don't have to,
split it up into days.
Right. Or, you don't have to block off just a whole hour, 50 minutes here. So, you're welcome. But, yeah, that's all I got. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. I know a lot of y'all are listening to this. So, happy Mother's Day. Appreciate y'all, everything you do. Got to eat with the family today. Had some hamburgers and hot dogs like true Americans. So,
there you go.
Good.
Perfect. Money. Yeah, definitely happy Mother's Day to everyone. Hope you guys have had a good weekend. Have a good rest of your weekend. We'll see you back here sometime this week for that flip, but definitely for more important issues.
Yeah, we'll tweet that out. Bellarmine on Tuesday, get back to our winning ways, and we'll just win out from there. How about that?
Absolutely. 100%.
Yep. Thank you all for listening. We're bringing the boat in, and we out.